I know it's Mother's Day. I haven't forgot. I have a gift for you mothers. But we're going to wait until I get into my sermon about the third point somewhere. And then I want to recognize and honor you. Okay? So we'll get there. I haven't forgotten. We're going to talk sermon today. It's on Mother's Day. And we're going to be, yes, Proverbs chapter 31. It's probably the most preached sermon on this day or section. I'm going to take a different focus because lots of times Proverbs 31 has talked about moms, this is all you need to do. And it sounds like the most superwoman that could ever walk the earth, okay? I'm coming at it from a different perspective. I'm going to look at sections where it talks about husbands and families honoring the wife and the mother, okay? So we're going to, yes?
Did you have offering?
We did in the beginning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're cool. We'll still take your money. Okay. It's cool. All right? Yeah, no problem. So,
sorry.
Mr. Walker right here, nice coat, okay. Tie. You can hand it to him when it's over. But good question. It's okay. It's okay. Because that's important. I want to begin with a story here, though. You all know who Winston Churchill was, right? He's someone who kind of held a little island together until the other forces showed up to stop tyranny and evil. He is one, when you study how to give a speech, you study him. Which is interesting because the guy was deathly afraid to stand in front of people and say anything. He always kept a speech in his pocket in case he was at a party and someone asked him to speak. Then he'd pull it out because he hated to do it spontaneously. Well, he was at some kind of a party that's going on. There's a lot of popular people there. And by the way, my lapel mic doesn't work, so I need to stay here. So if I wander off and you can't hear me, it's my fault, all right? So he's with this group. And there's a panel of real popular people up on the platform. And one way to get to know people is ask certain questions. They asked of the panel, if you were to die and allowed to come back as anyone else in history of the world, who would you like to be? That would be really telling from these popular people. So they go through a group and these people are all given their answers, whoever it might be. And they finally came to Winston Churchill and they asked him that question. Winston, Mr. Churchill, Sir Churchill, if you were to die and allowed to come back as anyone else in history of the world, who would you like to come back as? Winston Churchill turns, picks up his wife's hand, and he says, if I were to die and to be allowed to come back as anyone I wanted, I'd choose to be Lady Churchill's second husband. He just praised and honored her in a public sense. It's not the kind of thing where Churchill is trying to get public affirmation, because that's not what Churchill, as I understand, was ever about. Kind of shy and quiet. Okay? What he was doing is showing in public the kind of respect and honor he had for his wife away from the public. That's what we're looking at today for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the day that we set aside to celebrate moms. Carrie wanted me to play a YouTube video thing, and it was really cool. Just didn't have time with the baby dedication and stuff. But this guy was holding interviews for a very challenging and low-paying job. And so he was interviewing these people, and he was telling them what was required, what they would have to do, and all your time that you'd spend. And they're all going, that sounds ridiculous. Why would I want that job? Come to find out, it was all the qualifications to be a mom. And it was just pointing home that being a mom is hard. You need to hear this. It doesn't mean being a dad is easy. It's Mother's Day, so we're focusing in that direction. If it was Father's Day, we'd focus the other direction. And so Mother's Day is the day that we set aside to celebrate. The best way to honor moms is to honestly praise her in public and in private and as a family. Hey, children, youth, sometimes we forget that. Mom has done everything for you, and sometimes we forget just to appreciate her and let her know. Mother's Day shows up and we go, oh, this is the day I should do it. We should be thinking about it throughout the entire year and letting her know. So we're going to talk about how to honor mom, and the outline is real simple. Value her, trust her, and praise her. So let's begin. Nick, I know your hands are full, but can we maybe turn these fans on? Yeah? Okay. Went golfing yesterday, and boy, what a beautiful day, wasn't it? It was really hot, too. But I really enjoyed it. So number one, value her. You're in Proverbs 31. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11 here. And it reads like this. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Just a quick statement. If you, as a husband, you're not putting your confidence in your wife, it's hard for her to be of noble character. It's a partnership. We'll talk about that. So in this verse, it talked about noble character. That means distinguished in fine character. And confidence the husband has in her. That means putting full trust, belief in, trustworthy, reliable. And it says that he lacks nothing of value. Value means to regard or admire highly, to consider with respect or worth. You're going to hear value, respect, worth a lot in this sermon, hopefully. Because I think in our day and age, and long before our day and age, that was being undermined. And as respect for one another, respect for the home, respect for the family, and also seeing it as a worthy thing or something of worth and value, I think it disintegrates a community. So letter A, how do you value her? First of all, as your partner. You need a partner in life to go through the stuff, the good times, the bad times, the mediocre times as well. But a partner is someone that you work with. And she needs a partner to go through life with. Adam and Eve are a demonstration of this. God created the heavens and the earth, formed and filled everything. And then on the last thing he created was Adam and Eve and marriage and all of that kind of stuff. And then he told them to do what? He told them to take care of my garden. Do you think you have a lot of responsibility? So they were to take care of God's garden. It wasn't Adam, you take care of it. It wasn't Eve, you do all the work, and Adam just gets all the credit. What it was, together as a team, you take care of my garden. When it comes to life and family, it takes a partnership. A partnership where you're both given 100% and working together as a team. After all, two minds are better than one. I find that to be quite true. And then when you're a Christian family and you're living in that unity and that partnership and working together, you know what you get to do? You demonstrate the gospel in that relationship. There are times you're going to trip and stumble. There's going to be times of forgiveness. There's going to be times of success. There's going to be times of struggle. But together you focus on the Lord as a team and you get to point to the value of the gospel. I shared this first service, so I'm going to share it this service. And it's a bit personal. I am not standing up here saying anything to get a pat on the back. You know me. Those who've been here for the 16, 17 years I've been here, I don't look for that. But I want to share this with you because it fits here so well. Deborah and I were out to lunch. Her Christmas present to me was spend lunch with me every Thursday, to which I think is the coolest gift. So we're there and we're eating and we're talking, and I don't remember how it got to anywhere, but I was sharing that you three girls, our three daughters, I said, you're just all very mature. I really appreciate you growing up so well. And so I was giving them credit where credit was due, and Deborah goes, yeah, right. And I said, no, I'm serious. Thank you for maturing and being mature adults. Okay. And to which she starts, and Deborah every once in a while gets this philosophical off in Wonderland, and she starts thinking really deep. And she goes, you know, I sit there and I try and think which parent was more influential. Oh, before she got there, I made the statement, and it's all your mom's fault. Okay, I like to do that. And Deborah goes, she's so sharp. Did you do that just so that I could say, nah, you're important too? And the answer, honestly, is no. You've heard me say that. I blame Carrie, because without her, my daughter's would probably be a mess, okay? And maybe without me, they might be probably a little less messy, but still, all right? So what I'm trying to say is give credit to my wife as well, all right? And so Deborah goes, you know, I've thought about this, but I can't think of which parent is more important in my life. She says, it's like you guys are a team. You guys kind of worked together. You supported one another. And it was like a partnership. And as she's telling me that, I know what sermon I'm preaching today, and I'm going, oh, wow. I hope that's an illustration to you. As together we raise a family. There's nothing more important in Carrie in my life than raising daughters, children who love the Lord. That was our goal in life. It wasn't to have a big, healthy, remarkable. Pay no attention to that baby over there. It's beautiful. Okay? And so is that one. All right? It's just, that's part of the consequences of growing a church in that fashion. And that's okay. But the most important thing that Carrie and I do on this earth is raise our children. We've handed them off to some really good guys. Eh, we're waiting for Catherine, but hey. Not sure what she's going to bring home. But it'll be fine. The important thing is, the way that you value your wife, your partnership. Look at letter B, another way. Value her as your companion. A companion is somebody or a person who is frequently in the company of another. You enjoy their presence. It's never an intrusion or an inconvenience. You long to be together. Carrie and I enjoy that. We enjoy hanging out together. I went and played golf yesterday. It was a great time and pretty warm, but it was a great time with Malcolm, his son, and his son's father-in-law. So we had a great time. But you know, I see these beautiful things along the golf course, and all I want to do is say, hey, Carrie, look at that. And Carrie's not there. This is what it means to have a companion. Someone you enjoy to spend time with. I cannot tell you any time when I thought I just didn't want to be around my wife. I enjoy it. Oh, there's times of tension, okay? It's not a perfect life. It's just like yours. And so there's times of tension, but I really enjoy being with my wife. It's a fun gig. About 3 years ago, was it? Our daughters all moved out of the house. Can you believe they did that? I think that's kind of rude. But they all left. And so we started taking a vacation. And for about 24 hours, it was gloom and doom. And but after that, it was great. And then we had just a royal vacation, just driving and going wherever. It was fun. I enjoy being with Carrie. And she must enjoy being with me because she is. Look at letter C. Another way to value your wife is to value her as your confidant. Do you have things that you need to talk to somebody about? You ought to be able to trust your wife. She ought to be so close as a friend that you can share everything with her. A confidant is just that, a very close friend, someone with whom private matters and problems are discussed. You don't have to go somewhere else. You can for further input and advice, but the one that you should be your confidant is your wife. Vice versa is true in everything that I'm saying here, wife to husband, but we're talking about moms today. So husbands, you ought to look to your wife as being that one that you can confide in, that you can share with. It's okay to be a little bit vulnerable with your wife. You're not weak. In fact, she values that. Okay? She needs to be trusted by you. Wives, you need to be trustworthy. So it goes both ways. All right? I will never preach a sermon where I bawl out guys just to bawl out guys. That does nothing. I want to teach God's word. And a confidant is somebody who is sought after. Look at letter D. Another way to value. Value her as your treasure. Is there something you value greatly that if it broke or if you lost it, would you be heartbroken? Hopefully that's your wife. Hopefully you value her as the greatest treasure that you have. Scripture tells you that your wife is your gift from God. And so is the husband to the wife. To nurture, that's what we're going to look at here. To nurture means to protect, to support, to encourage, to develop. So number one, treat her as a treasure by nurture with kind words. OK? Okay? Nurture with kind words. It is far more of an effort to build somebody up with good words. And not fluff words, not words that mean nothing. I mean genuine words. Build her up. In an abusive situation, abusive relationship, and it happens both ways, mind you. Wives are abusive to husbands, and husbands are abusive to wives. Both exist. The guys get more play because they're more physical, right? But the other one exists. We're talking an abusive situation with a husband to a wife. All he wants to do is break her down so that he can manipulate her the way he wants. Blame everything on her. Man, that is not God's plan for marriage at all. God hates that. Okay? And we should defend those helpless ladies in that situation. But we need to nurture our wife with words that build up. It's too easy to be critical. It's too easy to be judgmental. It takes a little effort for us to quit thinking about ourselves and thinking about the quality in her and recognizing it genuinely and honestly. Help her grow. Help her grow. In two ways. In her person. And most importantly, as a Christian. Okay? It's not your responsibility to make her grow. That's her choice. But it's your responsibility to help her. Here's another way in which you can nurture your wife. Nurture with listening. With honest listening. My brother's 10 years older than me, so he got married a lot while I was still young, college and high school and college. And my brother loves sports, especially football. And boy, whenever there's a game on, you don't dare make any noise because he's scolding you, he's shooing you, and all kinds of stuff. And he's kind of harsh. And I watched how he really distanced himself from his wife and his daughters. And early on I said, Father, please don't let me do that, because I love sports too, especially basketball and football. I love those. I could watch those all the time. They're just really cool. I get the games and they're fun and the competitive juices come out. So I'm watching basketball. Portland Trail Blazer fan. I don't like the Warriors right now, but anyway. So I'm watching TV, and Carrie will come along and say, hey, Jim, you know what? And so you know what I do? I think, first of all, I was like, not now. And then I say, wait a minute, you made a commitment to the Lord. No, she's more important than TV. And I turn it off. And she immediately goes, well, you didn't have to turn it off. She doesn't quite understand that as a guy, I can't listen and watch. Yeah. It just don't work. Because one or the other shut off, right? And it's not because I'm mean, it's just because I am. And so I say, hon, you're more important than TV, and I can't divide my attention. So I want to pay attention to you. The game will happen no matter what. You and I are going on forever. And she'll always say, oh, I'm sorry, I just didn't think. You go ahead and watch it, and I'll ask, talk to you later. Okay, so I get to watch the game. Nurture with honest listening. Listening is a lost skill. We need to work at it, especially in the home. If you don't learn it in the home, guess what? You won't practice it outside the home. Then number three, nurture with a surprise. Now, this is simple things as well as big things, but the way you're going to be able to surprise your wife is you have to study her and your children too. If you know everything there is to know about your wife, then she's not growing, and shame on you. You need to help her grow. But if she's growing, she's different. Sometimes beyond comprehension. But that's good. Okay? Carrie and I were on that vacation when I told you the girls were all gone that year. And so we were going to go to Glacier National Park and camp for a couple weeks there and go to Kalispell and some other cool places. So that would have been fun, right? But in the back of my head, I'm planning. You see, Carrie's really spontaneous. Things from the hip, she loves. She's really creative that way. Things from the hip scare me. I like things planned. Okay? So we're going to Glacier. There's the plan. I didn't tell her what else I had in mind. And so we're at Glacier for a couple days. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Go see it. It's just a great thing, okay? And after a couple days, in my opinion, we saw everything, but I wanted to move on, didn't tell her. So that night as we're going to bed, I said, how about we get up, break camp, and go see Custer's battleground. In her mind, she's going, wow, he's spontaneous. Great. I surprised her. But in here, I'm going, okay, it's meticulously planned out because I'm comfortable. So we did. We had a blast. And then after the battleground, the night before, I say, when we go to bed, I said, hey, you know, we're not that far from Rushmore. Can we go there? Yeah. And again, it's all spontaneous to her, but for me, it's planned out. So we did that whole trip. It was just little surprises for her. And the only reason it worked is because I spend time knowing my wife. I know my wife. Okay? So I'm saying, nurture her with surprises. Get to know her. By the way, it helps keep a little spice in the marriage because you're caring for her. Number four, nurture with romance. Do something just for her. And guys, you're going to have to study your wife because romance to her is something different than it is for you. And you need to acknowledge that. And you need to recognize that. And honor her. Nurture her in that area. Okay? All right. Let's look at number two. Talk about trust her. Trust her. Look at verse 23. And it says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. I want you to note something here. Public respect of the husband is only reached with the support of his wife. You've heard it said, behind every good man is a great woman. I'm here to testify that that's true. Look at letter A. How do you trust her? Trust her to be supportive. To be supportive. I'm telling you, the past few years, the past couple years, went through some really challenging circumstances in my life. And without Carrie in my corner, I probably would have collapsed. She is really critical in my life. Vice versa. I've helped her through stuff too, but we're Mom's Day today, not Dad's Day. But she is a very wise woman and very strong as long as she's protected. To be supportive. You know what the man's greatest need is in a relationship? It is respect. It is respect. Okay? I really, really, really feel full up when Carrie is demonstrating respect for me. Okay? There's even times when I'm a bonehead and she's helping me out and she still respects me and helping me see the error of my way. I really, really appreciate it. Okay? I especially need that respect from my wife. A woman's greatest need. You know what that is? Shh. You know what the greatest need is for a woman? Love. Love. When we hear that word love, we think in the bedroom. That's not what's meant, guys. The bedroom follows everything I'm talking. If these things are not what you're supporting and doing in her life, okay, behind closed doors is not as good as it could be if you're loving her in the way that I'm telling you. Being a partner. And all those things. Okay? The greatest need is love, especially from her husband. That's why when an abuser is being abusive, it crushes her. That's why you speak with kind words and building up words. Okay? Security. It encourages us to face life's challenges. I've told you this story before. I don't know how many of you will remember it, but it's related to Sharon. She's the middle child, so she's all messed up. And actually, Sharon, I was always having this confidence issue growing up, and you're always supporting, encouraging. Her two other sisters were really mean to her. They even apologized later. But, you know, Sharon, for whatever reason, struggles, okay? Well, there was one day I told her, Sharon, and this was genuine and honest. I don't tell my girls false truths. And I said, I'm really pleased at how well you're growing up. You're doing fine. Thank you, Daddy. And she walks off. I have no idea what that's going to do in her life. So there was, I don't know, a week or two later, Deborah and or Catherine were getting after Sharon, and they were really picking on her, right? And it's something that gets Sharon all wound up. Sharon, as only Sharon can, hand on hip, hip sticking out, and nose in the air, and she says, "My dad says I'm growing up just fine." So there, and walks off. No, I don't. And so I'm watching all this take place, and I'm watching Deborah and Catherine. They're going, they look at each other like, "Who's that? Where's Sharon?" We need to help those we love by giving them security in who they are. All right? I could give you other stories for my other daughters too. I can give you stories for Carrie. But we need to help support our wife. Let her be. Another way to trust her. Trust her to be capable. I don't know how many guys I talk to and say, "Well, my wife just can't handle it." By the way, ladies, I hear more ladies say, "I don't know if my husband can handle it." Stop that. That negative talk really offends and hurts and affects. Men, we need to honor our wives, trust her to be capable. You got to believe in her. Believe in her. Honestly listen to her ideas and suggestions. You don't know how many times I've been influenced by my wife's thinking and the things I'm teaching. Okay? From God's word. She has great insight. And also, ask her where you can help her. "Wow, you're doing great. Can I help you accomplish that?" You're just putting your belief in her, and she just feels loved. By the way, love is the number one thing that women need. The third thing there, let her see. Trust her to be praised. There are some people who are afraid to praise others because they're going to get a big head and become a problem. That's not your business. If somebody does something right and does something well, praise them for it. And let their character speak for itself. So here are two ways in which I think you can praise your wife. Number one, for her effective support. She is supporting you. It may be a little, it may be a lot, maybe somewhere in between. Always acknowledge it. Always let her know you appreciate it. Honest gratitude is great. Honest gratitude is an expression of love. And by the way, love is the number one thing that a lady needs. Gratitude. Notice her. I don't mean look and say, "Wow, she's gorgeous." That's important. But more important is to notice her and acknowledge her respect for you. When she has respect for you and it's demonstrated privately, publicly, verbally or not, always acknowledge it and say thank you. That's how you love your wife. Here's the second way in which we trust her to be praised, for her strong character. Okay? If your wife is weak in character, maybe it's because you're not encouraging her. And vice versa, ladies. Maybe you're not encouraging or supporting your husband. We're talking about moms. For her strong character. I mean, strength is a person, and that's important. But even further, more important is her growth in Christian character. Support that. Encourage that. Acknowledge that. Talk to her about it. And it'll just make her life happy. Letter D, nurture. Help her grow personally. We'll talk about helping her grow spiritually in the next point, but helping her grow personally. Here's a definition of to nurture. It means to provide necessities that encourage healthy and positive development. Right? We did a baby dedication. There's one coming. They need to nurture the child, give it the nourishment it needs, give it the love it needs, give it the direction it needs. That's what it means to nurture. Husbands, you have that responsibility with the gift God has given you. Here are three areas of nurturing. We talked about them earlier. To protect. It's your job to protect your wife. Sometimes from herself. Sometimes from those out there. Sometimes from just a crazy world and its ideas. Help her see her own value. Carrie's father. He is her father biologically. That's it. He was never in her life. When he died, She was a bit confused, and I wasn't sure why. And she finally looked at me and says, "Jim, it's like somebody I read in the obituaries that I don't know has died. I can't cry. Am I sinning?" To which I reply, "Heavens, no. He's the one that sinned, not you. It's his job, his responsibility. But I need to help her see her value every day. She never had a father speaking into her life." And so dating and then more exposure was after we were married, and I realized her value of herself wasn't very strong. And so I spent a long time helping her realize her value is great, because someone had told her it wasn't. See, her mom was a great person too, but her mom picked on Carrie quite a bit. I had said this in first service. She heard everything, so I'm not exposing anything that is embarrassing. And in fact, I had to protect her from her mom on a couple occasions, okay? But I had to help Carrie understand her value is not in their treatment of her, but her value is in Christ and in my love for her and her family, okay? Men, we need to do that for our wives. The second thing under there is to support. Don't be afraid to let her grow. Sometimes I hear men say, "I can't let her do that because she's going to become smarter than me or better than me." And the point is this: let her grow. So to challenge you, don't be lazy. Don't be competitive. Don't be afraid. Not only let her grow, but help her grow if you can. And then notice her growth and praise the Lord for it. And then the third thing under here is to encourage. How do you encourage your wife to continue to grow personally and later spiritually? By your own example. By your own example. Grow yourself. And here's the other thing. Talk about your journey. Ladies like to talk about stuff, especially when we're talking about stuff from in here. So as you're choosing to grow personally or in Christ, let her in on the journey. Whenever I hold a men's group and we are studying through a book, eventually, I can't tell you how many times the guy says, "I can't find my book anymore because my wife is always reading it." You want to know why? She wants to know what you're learning. Talk about it. And it makes her day. It values her. Here's the third thing. Praise her. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Okay? The concept of praise means offering approval and affirmation. To affirm means to agree with the truth. Look at letter A. Praise her from a grateful heart. We've already talked about gratefulness. It's a really critical, important attitude. I think it's part of respecting others. Look at verse 28. And this is talking about mom's children. "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her." Gratitude. Hey, I'm from Arizona. I know what it's like to hunt in the desert. I've chased deer for miles. I haven't tagged any, but I have trailed them. Okay? But I can tell you how many times I'm out there. You get your canteen of water, because you always got to have water in the desert, right? Unless you want to become like the mummy in a curiosity shop down in Seattle. But after a while, the water gets lukewarm. It's kind of like, at least it's wet. I have been a couple times when I'm deep into the desert, and there's a place where a couple hills come together. I call them hills because there's nothing like a mountain up here. So they come together, and it looks lush in there. So you head back in there, and guess what's gushing out? A spring. And it's cold, and it's fresh, and it's clear. Oh, it is just remarkable to be in a desert and have that refreshment, right? And you take your canteen and go glug, 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 and then you fill it up. And it's really good. Hey, that's what gratitude does. Genuine gratitude. It's like that fresh water that is clear and important. It helps her just feel wonderful. Gratitude is an expression of value and appreciation. Now look at letter B. Praise her for growing in Christ. Look at verse 30. I like verse 30. It's pretty blunt. "Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Hey, there's a lot of charm out there, and there's a lot of people who are really charming. But when you get right down to it, ain't much in character, let alone godly character. Because a lot of times we like to charm those around us so we can get our way, rather than respect them. Charm doesn't guarantee quality character. And then beauty. Beauty is fleeting. It always fades. Some of you are aging wonderfully. Beauty fails. It's not always there. So if I have a relationship with somebody because they're beautiful and charming, I'm in a shallow relationship if that's why. That doesn't mean, because my wife is very charming and very beautiful, that doesn't mean she's a weak in character. What it means is I saw other things in her. And the other things were just cool. Godly character is everything. If you can see the evidence of godly character in her life, it is evidence of a relationship with Jesus. It is evidence of God's ongoing work. Praise him for it. Then look at letter C. Praise her for her hard work. Look at verse 31. Give her the reward. By the way, when you finish a day's work and you get paid for it, that's not a reward. You earned it. A reward is something over and above, like a bonus or something. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. There is something that is considered healthy pride. There's the pride in which I'm judging myself against you, and I'm better than you, and I can do this, and you're braggadocious and all that kind of nonsense. But then there's the other kind of pride. When you finish a task, a job, whatever it is, and you stand back and go, wow, I'm pleased. I did a good job. There's nothing wrong with that. And there are people who won't praise you for it because they're afraid they're going to give you a big head. That's not their business. It's up to your character. When your wife has worked hard, guess what? She needs to be told, job well done. That's the way you love her and encourage her. Okay? Again, gratitude is an expression of value and love when a job is well done. Hey, that doesn't mean you get to pick on her if the job doesn't go right. You need to encourage her through that too. Look at letter D. Talk about nurture again. The last point was nurture her personally. Now we're going to talk about help her grow spiritually. Again, to nurture means to provide necessities that encourage healthy and positive development. So we're going to do the to protect, to support, and to encourage. So to protect your wife in her spiritual life, the two things I think are really important. Protect her from holding back forgiveness. A believer who holds back forgiveness is living as though God is unimportant, that Jesus Christ didn't mean anything on the cross. Teach her how. Make sure she's learning to forgive and let it go. Another illustration. Very good man, the last church I was at, my mentor. He said something that was not correct about my wife, called her a manipulator. And it hurt her really bad. So she came to me and I just listened. Okay, I learned listening. Just let her listen. Rather than jumping in and fixing it. So she's going off. And so we get done. And I said, can I give advice now? And she goes, I know what you're going to say. What? I have to forgive him. You know that. But the other thing? I know I have to go talk to him. Yeah. And I'm right here with you. I'll go with you if you want. No. Remember I told you her life growing up and her value as a person? It's grown by this point. And she goes, no. And I think that's why this incident happened for her as a test. I'll go talk to him. And I said, you understand that Jerry is a remarkable man and he'll completely understand. So she went. She talked. And Jerry immediately said, you're right. What I said was wrong. And he apologized. Guess what? Their relationship was that much closer. Okay? So I protected her to be sure that she's forgiving. I gave her a safe place to hurt. Here's the other thing. You need to protect her from having a critical spirit. Somebody who is unforgiving becomes very judgmental and very critical. And by the way, it's not a representation of the gospel at all. So the other thing is to nurture her, to support her by noticing her growth out loud. Tell her about it. Now don't say, you were a bum yesterday and now you're doing pretty good. No, come on. You know, but you want to say, yeah, I've noticed that you're doing better with this. How is that happening? Give her the open door to start talking. Okay? And then the third thing is to encourage. This goes back to the same thing I said earlier. How do you encourage her spiritual growth? By your own spiritual growth. Hey guys, too many times it's mom that brings us to church. Wrong. That is not God's design. Okay? It's the husband's responsibility to bring the family before the throne of God. I'm not saying that mom is not good enough, but I'm telling you that that's the way God has designed it. When you go to the Christian bookstore, by and large, far and distant, ladies are the greatest customers of Christian bookstores. And guess what? The books they buy, they read. Lots of times, you know what the men do? They buy a book and get to it eventually. Our job is to grow in Christ. I told you earlier when I have Bible studies with the men and we're going through a book, the wife likes to steal it and read it, right? Including mine. It's like, where's my book? But I love it. And then the other thing is by leading the whole family to church. And then by talking with her about your own journey. Open up and let her know. There's some applications there for you. Real quickly. Find ways to value her, your wife, as a rare treasure in public and private. And I'm going to take a moment and tell you young people, you need to be doing the same thing. It's really easy to be young and your head's not in the game and you just think, well, that's what moms do. She loves you. That's why she does it. You need to value her. You need to trust her. And then you need to praise her. Because if you're not praising her, guess what? You're just a leech. You're taking it. You're stealing it. Give her the love and the grace. And guess what? Your mom is going to be that much cooler. She's still going to be tough, but she'll be that much cooler. Look at number two. Honestly compliment her abilities at home and in public. Number three, honestly, don't just say it, but honestly. Number three, let her see and hear your genuine gratitude for all she does and for who she is. Right? Some guy married his wife, and in the marriage ceremony said, I loved you. 30 years later, he's told, you need to tell your wife you love her. Why? I did 30 years ago. Nothing's changed. You know what? She likes to hear it. Her number one need is love. Needs to see it and needs to hear it. And that's the same for youth and children. Number four, choose to grow personally and spiritually with her. Talk about the journey. If you haven't noticed, ladies love to talk about that stuff. And it's okay. It's important that you talk about it. And let her know your journey, your struggles, your successes, your confusion, your wonderment. And she's going to just open up to you.